Yeah, I want to look this morning at a sermon I've entitled it, A Changed Life. I think perhaps it should be a changing life, because the Christian life should be a life of constant change in our lives. And if you turn in your Bible this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through to 22. And this is about Saul, or Paul as we know him in the New Testament. So it says there, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ." We're looking this morning at the changed life, and here in this scripture we see the example of Paul the Apostle, or Saul of Tarsus as he was, how he got saved, how his life was subsequently transformed. And here we see that Paul, known previously as Saul, was a persecutor of the early church. He was a Pharisee, and in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, it tells us there that he made havoc of the church. It says there, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." And if you remember in the previous chapter, in Acts chapter 7, We saw Stephen being martyred. He was stoned to death, and they laid his clothes at the feet of Saul, who consented to that man's death. He was a persecutor of the church, and he did it out of what he thought was zeal for God, but it was a misplaced zeal. It was built on ignorance and misunderstanding. He didn't understand or know that Jesus was the true Messiah, the true Christ, and that those he was persecuting were God's people. And here we see that God intervened in his life. On this road to Damascus, it says, a bright light shone down on him from heaven. And Jesus said to him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And he was made blind. And it was later on, as we read, that one of the brethren called Ananias was told by the Lord in a vision to go to a street named Straight. I like that, a street named Straight. And he went there. And even though he was afraid, and he said to God, you know, this man, he's got a reputation. He has the power to put us into prison. He was renowned for persecuting the church. He knew this man's reputation. But God said to him, no, he's a chosen instrument of mine. I'm going to use him to be a witness to the Gentiles, to kings and to Israel, and show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So God had a purpose for Paul. And he sent Ananias, who, as we know, prayed for him. He got baptized, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says the scales literally fell from his eyes. He was transformed, he was a changed man. It says he immediately went and started preaching the gospel, started witnessing, started ministering, proving that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is not this he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. His life was turned upside down. All who heard were amazed at the change. You and I, when we got saved, our lives were changed, weren't they? They were turned upside down. We were no longer the people that we once were. Those around us could see that there'd been a change, that we weren't being like we used to be. They could see a change in our lives. And yeah, we might not have experienced a road to Damascus conversion where bright lights from heaven were shining down. But let me tell you that salvation is a miracle. And God spectacularly intervened in our lives. He reached down from heaven towards us and opened our eyes to the truth that Jesus is the Christ. And I honestly believe this morning, it's not us who find God, it's God who finds us. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And God reached down into our lives and he gave us that opportunity. He opened our eyes to the truth, and as we began to earnestly seek him, he revealed himself to us, and he brings us to a place just like on that road to Damascus where we're converted, a place where he transforms us, where he changes us, and he sets us on a new course. And that's what we see in Paul's life, and we see that he was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God used him mightily. And God's intervened in our lives. We were baptized and we've been filled with the Spirit. And God has a purpose and plan for each and every one of us here this morning. Someone who's born of God is a changed life. And God's purpose in salvation is to change us. The Bible says that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. His primary purpose in bringing us to salvation is to deliver us from our sins, to bring us to a place of faith and obedience. And we're called to change, aren't we? And not just once when we first get saved. You know, a lot of Christians say a sinner's prayer, but then either days, months, weeks, or even years later, they're still the same old person, gone back to the old ways, the old life. You know, it's worrying when a believer's life doesn't change. That tells me that they've stopped responding to God in their lives. We live in a lukewarm age. But you and I, we've been called to be radically different. God wants us to be radically saved, not just barely saved. We aren't called this morning just to get into heaven by the skin of our teeth, but we're called to be transformed, to be renewed, to be Christ-like. Are you radically saved this morning? Has God changed you in the inner man? Is your heart a new heart? Is your mind a new mind? Because that's what we're called to, isn't it? To be a new creation in Christ Jesus. To be a changed man or woman this morning. To have the mind of Christ. To have a heart after God's own heart. To be renewed in the inner man day by day. Not just once, but an ongoing change. It's not just a one-off event when we get saved. It's a day-by-day event. Every day, you and I should be changing in the Christian life. Every day, we should be growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, we should be continuing to bear fruit, continuing to change, continuing to become more Christ-like, continuing to know God more and more. We're called to grow. We're called to be fruitful and to have fruit that remains. The Christian life is a life of change. And if you don't like change, then the Christian life's probably not for you, because God is in the business of changing us. Changing us so that we can be more Christ-like, so that we can live a holy life. Changing us so that we're not in bondage to sin. Changing us so that we can have the knowledge of God and we can understand His word and walk in His wisdom and truth, so that we can have the light of life, so that we can be healed and redeemed and cleansed and forgiven. It's a life of change and transformation. The Bible speaks about the renewal of the mind. That's a transformation. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. We're called to be new creatures in Christ Jesus, it says. The old life has passed away. Behold, we walk in the newness of life. Problem for a lot of Christians is we go so far and then we stop changing, or we slow down. And you know, to some extent, when we first get saved, that's when the biggest changes take place. You know, look at Paul. He was going around persecuting the church, locking people up in prison, consenting to the death of those that were being martyred. Then suddenly he's a new man. He's going around preaching Christ himself. That's a radical change. But we should always be changing. There's always more that God wants to do in our lives. You know, even Paul, at the end of his life, if you read in the book of Philippians, he said, "Not that I've already attained, but I press on toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ." He knew that there was still more that God wanted to do in his life. There was still more that needed to change. He said, "I've not already attained." He hadn't yet attained to all of the fullness, to all of what God had for him. But he said, "But he pressed on, laying hold of God for what God had laid hold of him for." He knew there was still more that God wanted to do in his life. And the Bible speaks about a process called sanctification. And that's a process of change, isn't it? Where we grow to become more Christ-like. We're growing holiness and godliness and righteousness, where our thoughts are transformed, where our heart is transformed, and we're renewed day by day. King David prayed in Psalm 51, "Renew within me a right spirit and a right heart." And to be renewed means to change, to be made whole again, to be perfected. So we're being changed so that we can be perfected this morning. Sadly, some people change for the worse. Some people change in the wrong direction. Sometimes, sadly, Christians change in the wrong direction. They go from being radical to being lukewarm, from being on fire for God to being merely religious and backslidden, going through the motions. Jesus said, "They honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof." And we can all fall into the comfort zone. We can all fall into comfortable Christianity. We can all become religious if we're not careful. It's a danger. That's why we have to keep our hearts right before God. That's why we need to be on our knees every day, earnestly seeking God, asking Him to change us, asking Him to show us what's in our hearts so that we can change. Our prayer needs to be, "Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That needs to be the cry of our heart every morning. Because we don't want to remain the same, do we? Or we shouldn't want to. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm sick of the old me. I don't like the old me. The old me is a miserable, grumpy, stubborn, rebellious, arrogant, selfish, lazy, foolish, prideful, lusty and greedy man. And I don't want to be that person anymore. That's the old me. That's the carnal man. That's the flesh. But I want to be more Christ-like. I want to reflect more of his character, more of his nature, to display God's mercy, to display God's love, to display God's patience and perseverance, to be a partaker of the divine nature, as the scripture puts it, to display God's heart to the lost. And here's the next thing, really. We're called to change not just for ourselves this morning, but so that God can use us. Because when God saved Paul, he had a purpose in mind for Paul. He said he was going to be a witness to the Gentiles and to kings and to Israel. He said he was going to suffer many things for his name's sake. You know, God had a plan for Paul's life. He's got a plan for our life. It wasn't all pleasant, was it? It wasn't all a bed of roses. God said he's going to suffer many things. Great, isn't it? He's going to show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. God's plans aren't always a bed of roses. There is suffering in the Christian life. There are difficulties. There are persecutions. There are trials. There are scourges. Picking up the cross is painful and hard. There is the discipline of God's Spirit in our lives. But God does this so that we can become more Christ-like, so that we can know him more, so that we can be useful in his kingdom, not just for ourselves, but also for others. Because God has a purpose for each and every one of us to minister in his church. You know, there's a lot of Christians who want to be Lone Ranger, free spirits with no commitment to any local body, Christians who don't want to minister, who don't want to commit, who don't want to have to give any service, who don't want to have to do something beyond that involves inconvenience in them. Ministry is an inconvenience at times. Serving people often involves sacrifice and disruption to our plans and dreams and ambitions. It involves choices to labour, to serve, to give, to deny ourselves. But isn't that what Jesus said though? We're to pick up the cross daily and deny ourselves to follow him. That he who loves his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for his sake, it says, will gain eternal life. Matthew 19 verse 29 says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." It was Jim Elliot, the missionary, who said, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." We're called to change so that we can serve others. We're called to give. We're called to serve. Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be the servant of all." The question is this morning, is are we willing to change? Because God wants to change us, but we're not always willing to change, are we? God wants us to be different. God gives us the power to be different. But we don't always want to be different. We like the way we are too often. We hate sin, and yet we somehow love it. We like our ease. We're too independent. We're too stubborn. We're too self-willed. We like our comforts and convenience. We like to be in control. We love to be in control of the circumstances. We like predictability. We like routine. We like safety. We don't like risks. But you know, in life, even in general, nothing is ever gained if nothing is ever risked. And when you're taking risks for God and it's his will, then in reality you're not actually risking anything, because it's better to do the will of God than to live in a comfort zone and lose your own soul, isn't it? The scripture says, "Better to be a doorkeeper in thy house than to take my fate upon myself." We can all take the easy path. We can all take the path of least resistance. The path that doesn't involve change. But that's not the will of God this morning. If you're going to serve God, if you want to be his disciples, you're going to have to be willing to change. Have to be willing to give up whatever he tells us to give up, to do whatever he tells us to do, to go wherever he tells us to go. You have to be willing to give our all for Christ. He has to come first. God has intervened in our lives for a reason this morning. It's so that we can be different. I think it was Alan said that you used to have a picture by your bedside that said, "God changes people and things," or "things and people." Yeah. You know, when you allow God into your life, he's going to change things. He's going to turn your life upside down. You know, when Paul was transformed, the people couldn't believe it. Isn't this the one that was persecuting the saints? Isn't this the one that was the making havoc of the church of God? They couldn't believe that this man was now saved and serving God. They saw a difference in his life. We're called to be living epistles. When people look at our lives, they should be able to see Christ and see a change, see a transformation, to see that you're a new creature, that you're not walking the way you used to walk. You're not talking the way you used to talk. You're not living the way you used to live. You're not acting the way you used to act or thinking the way you used to think. In a sense, we've become brainwashed, but not into lies and deception, but brainwashed by the precious blood of Jesus. That our mind now thinks with a sound mind, based on truth. Amen. The truth of Christ and the truth of the Word of God. Be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. We're called to be transformed. Finally, God doesn't just change us. He can change other people through us. Not just through our words or through our deeds, but through our prayers. We need to pray for other people to change. Because sometimes we can get despondent, can't we? We all have relatives or loved ones that we want to see saved. And we can become despondent at times, thinking, how can we ever reach them? We've witnessed to them 1,000 times. We've told them everything we believe, yet they still don't respond. But you know what? God can do it. God can open the eyes of the blind. God can do what he did for Paul on that Damascus road. He can reach down from heaven and he can jolt them into salvation. He can open their eyes. And if he can do it for Paul, he can do it for us, can't he? Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. If you turn to 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 through to 17, says that, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. You see, Paul was saying here, look, I was formerly a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was an insolent man. This is who he was. He was an insolent man, a blasphemer, yet he obtained mercy. God intervened. He said the grace of the Lord, he said, was exceedingly abundant towards him. And this was a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank God this morning that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Because I tell you, if that's not the case, then we'd have no chance, would we? But Paul is saying here, this is a faithful saying. This is something that you can put all your trust and reliance on, all your weight on, all your faith on, is that God came into this world to save you, a sinner. And Paul said, he was the chief of sinners. In other words, I'm about as bad a sinner as you can get. I'm the chief of sinners, and yet God had mercy on me. And if he can have mercy on me, he can have mercy on you too. God is able to change the worst of sinners, the vilest offenders. What's he saying? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Doesn't matter what you've done or how low you've gone, how far in the mire you've fallen, how vile you've been, how unworthy you've been, whatever acts you've committed. You know, even Adolf Hitler, if he'd have repented and put his faith in Christ, he could have been forgiven. Because God is merciful to the chief of sinners. God is willing to save sinners. And this morning, you can put your faith and trust in a God who saves sinners. And when you proclaim him, you're proclaiming that God is able to save. And if he can save someone who is the chief of sinners like Paul, he can save you and me. Amen.
Amen.
God is a God who changes people and things. On that subject of changing things in our lives, there's often mountains in our lives. There's difficulties to surmount, there's pressures, there's problems that sometimes seem way beyond anything we can tackle of ourselves. They seem insurmountable. Hang-ups and issues, difficulties, struggles, you know what they are. Everybody's different. Everyone's got different problems, different issues, different burdens. But one thing's certain this morning is God can change things. He's able to change things. And no matter how bad your circumstances are, even if they're of your own making, if you've got a willing heart and an honest heart this morning and a repentant heart, God can change things. He can make things better, or at least bring us through the problems, or make us able to bear them. Not because we deserve it, not because of anything wonderful in us, but it's all purely by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his mercy that he saves us. It's by his grace that he saves us this morning. None of us are here this morning because of our own goodness, or because of any wonderful wisdom or insight that we've got. But we're here this morning by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, because he stepped in on that Damascus road, as it were, and he pointed out to us that our sins are what put him on the cross. You know, it was our sin that put him on the cross. I think we were singing that this morning. You know, when he died on that cross, when he was nailed to that tree, it was our sin that put him there. We were in the crowds, weren't we? Shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. We might like to think that we'd never have shouted that. But we know what? We're no better than that crowd. Yet he still loved us. He still chose to die for us. Despite the hardness of our hearts and the rebellion and the wickedness, he chose to intervene because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he said, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Him who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we could be different, so that we could be free, so that we could be changed. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who does indeed change things and people. And we thank you that you intervened in our lives. And we just pray, Lord God, that we continue, Lord God, to look to you, that you continue to change us. That we know that we haven't yet attained, Lord God, but we press on. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.